Omaha Public Radio presents another luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. Today's guest speaker will be Emily Getchman, Marketing Director for the Omaha Public Library. She'll speak on the topic, The Future of Omaha's Library. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, November 16, 2017, for broadcast at this time. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of the Omaha Press Club, KIOS-FM, or the Omaha Public School District. Here now to introduce the program is Chris Allen, a member of the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee.
When I was a kid some half century ago, the Carnegie Library in the small town in Iowa where I grew up seemed to me to be somewhat of a foreboding place of polished wood, dark corners, glowering eyes behind the desk, and absolute silence. The children's books were on the top floor, which would be the second floor, and if you didn't know what you were looking for, you had to contend with the mysterious Dewey Decimal Card System. Today, libraries are brightly lit, open, welcoming spaces with meeting rooms, conversation, computer terminals, WordPerfect, spreadsheets, electronic resources, music to be checked out, and librarians who can help you find what you need. Libraries have evolved into that and into so much more. But in one way, libraries have not evolved. Back in my childhood, I could check out my books with that precious slip of paper called a library card. I simply filled out a form, most likely my parents filled it out for me, and I had access to everything in that red brick building that still stands at the corner of Market Street and South 4th in my hometown. There was no fee, there were no dues, and today it's the same. With all the resources the Omaha Public Library provides, there is no charge to check out a book or use the facilities. Over the years, the Omaha Public Library has been rated among the best in the nation. Today, with its branches spread out across the city, it still strives to provide services to everyone, whoever wants them. And we're going to talk about that today. Our speaker is Emily Getchman. Emily is the Marketing and Media Manager for Omaha Public Library. For the past 7 years, she's worked to increase the visibility of the Omaha Public Libraries in the community and promote the events and resources that the library holds. Before joining the library, Emily worked in disaster relief, in publishing, and in manufacturing. She has a master's degree from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in journalism. When she's not in the library, she enjoys reading, of course, traveling, running, and spending time with what she calls her exceptionally fluffy dog. Please welcome Emily Getchman.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me today. I am always excited to talk about Omaha Public Library and what's on the horizon for us. There are a lot of things that never change with libraries, but one thing that is constantly changing is that we always have to evolve to what's happening in the world around us. And libraries are great at meeting the needs of people where they're at. So that does require facilities, and that is what I'm mostly going to talk to you about today, is the future of Omaha Public Library facilities. It has been a hot topic lately. It has been in the news. It will continue to be in the news. And so I want to give you an overview of some of the things that we've been talking about, the consultants we've worked with, and some of the opinions that we've received from the public. First, just to give you a quick overview of Omaha Public Library, we have 12 locations throughout Douglas County. We do serve all of Douglas County, although Ralston does have their own library, and they remain independent. They can also use Omaha Public Library. So everyone in Douglas County can get an Omaha Public Library card. Our 12 locations are as far east as 15th Street, as far west as 204th, as far south as Q, and as far north as Fort. Our oldest building is our Benson branch, which was built in 1946. It also got a major renovation and add-on in 1998, but that is our oldest facility as of right now. And our newest building was built in 2009. That is our Saddlebrook branch on about 148th and Fort. So, with that said, I want to talk to you a little bit about the facilities plan that we had commissioned earlier this year from Himmel & Wilson Library Consultants. They did a plan for us about 7 years ago in 2010 that was a very comprehensive facilities plan. It had a lot more information than this one, but because they had done that just 7 years ago, they really just wanted to go back and look at that plan, see if what they had recommended then was still valid, and answer two questions, really. One was, How well are the existing OPL facilities meeting the needs of Omaha and Douglas County residents? And then what public library facilities will be required over the next 20 years to continue to meet the growth of this community? So this is a 20-year plan that we're talking about. There's been some misconception that how are we going to do all this at once? It won't happen all at once. It'll happen over the next 20 years, projecting for future growth of Omaha and the surrounding area. The criteria they used in looking at our facilities was basically population. So they had a rule of thumb, 0.75 square feet per facility per capita, and how many people they thought would be in that service area for each library. And then they also looked at drive times and accessibility. So I'm going to go through their five priorities, what they prioritized as recommendations, and then I will kind of talk to you about some of the public feedback we got from those recommendations. So the very first recommendation is build a new Southwest branch in the area of 180th and Q to alleviate the traffic at Millard Branch and serve the growing westward population. So these recommendations, 180th and Q, we've already had a lot of people say, but there's nothing left there. You're right. These are recommendations on this would be ideal if we could get in this area or somewhere nearby. This recommendation they considered the most urgent because they feel that the growth in Southwest Omaha is not only an underserved population at this point, but completely unserved by the library. Their closest library in most instances is to go to the Millard Branch, which is on 132nd between L and Center Streets, or they can go north to the Elkhorn Branch, which is just north of 204th and Dodge, south of Maple, of course. So that's really the closest library for a lot of people, and as you know, we have grown aggressively in Southwest Omaha, so we don't have anything out there to currently serve those folks. And our Millard branch is heavily overtaxed at this point. It is doing a fourth of the service that the whole system does for the entire county. So they're serving approximately 150,000 people when the building was actually built to serve 60 to 70,000 people. They are doing about a third of the circulation of the entire system and meeting about a fourth of the entire population. So they are suggesting a building Southwest that would actually even be bigger than the Millard branch. These are families with young children in a lot of instances. They want it to be very accessible and believe that it would get a lot of use. So on that note, they also did talk about, we hear a lot, libraries aren't going to be relevant anymore. Books are dying. The print is going away. It's going to be all digital. And what they did find in that is that we will very much still have a need for bricks and mortar libraries in the year 2040. Books are not dying. They actually are. That ebook rate, the sales was skyrocketing, and now it's kind of leveled out. And they are saying that print books are just as popular as ever. And if anything, people like to read both. So there will still be a need for print. They might be different materials, but there will still be a need for print. So they wanted to reassure people that indeed libraries will be relevant in the future. I will go to our second recommendation, which was to replace Willa Cather Branch with a facility near 63rd and Center to serve populations west of the existing facility and overlapping populations with South Omaha Library. The Willa Cather Branch is located at 44th and Center Streets, and it is considered by the consultants as our facility that is in the worst condition. It is in the poorest condition of all of ours. It was built in 1956. It has never gone a major renovation, undergone a major renovation. It has had some cosmetic updates, but that's about as far as it can go. It is very, very locked in that space. The parking lot only has enough parking for maybe 20-some cars. It is a little bit hazardous getting in and out of there. So there's really no room to grow it, and based on the problems that we do have with the building, a renovation would be much costlier than replacing the building. They are suggesting 63rd and Center because they believe that that will meet some unmet needs in just west of that location and also reduce some of the overlap that we have with South Omaha Library currently, which is at 28th and Q. 63rd and Center is really close to Baxter Arena. We have had some pushback on the actual location, but again, these are vicinities, these are areas, these are suggestions, not concrete will do. The third suggestion that they considered the third most urgent is our Elkhorn Branch. So Elkhorn Branch is tucked away off of 204th Street. It'd be really hard to find if you didn't know where it is. It sits atop a hill. We have a lot of acres. This facility is actually one of our newer facilities, built in 1996 prior to Elkhorn's annexation. They did have plans to expand it before the annexation. Obviously, that has not happened, and that area out there is growing rapidly. So this is severely undersized at about 7,800 square feet, and they're suggesting that we need at least 20,000 square feet. The rooms are shaped kind of unusually, so it makes it hard to have events. It makes it hard to have speakers. It's just too small. It's just too small for the area and the access to it, because there is no access off of Honeysuckle Drive, which, you know, from Highway 31, creates a lot of problems for people and some congestion with a one entry access point. So that is their third most urgent that they recommended. Our fourth one is a little tricky, our fourth recommendation. So I'm going to read that. Replace Main Library and Swanson Branch simultaneously. Main Library would be replaced with a smaller downtown branch, while Swanson Branch would be replaced with a larger central library somewhere along the Dodge Street corridor between 72nd and 90th. The central library would house administrative functions and special collections. A lot of people don't understand why this would have to happen simultaneously. Obviously, we're talking about two buildings, which is a huge project and a large financial commitment. The reason that they recommend it happening simultaneously is if you reduce the size of the downtown branch, if you have a smaller downtown branch, all of the functions that happen in that huge building need to go somewhere. So you'd have to build a bigger facility somewhere, or if you don't involve Swanson into this or have a central library, you have to have a big downtown library still. So even if you replace it, you have to have somewhere for the administrative back of house stuff that goes on, all the collections, processing, shipping and receiving. We have an entire collection at the library that floats, which means we ship stuff in between all 12 branches every day, up to 1,000 items a day shipped between branches, and that all has to get processed. So a lot of things happen that people don't realize, and also the main library houses special collections, which is genealogy. We have one of the biggest and best genealogy departments between Chicago and Salt Lake right here in Omaha, and that is actually our historical government docs. All of that almost contains an entire floor of our downtown library, so that has to go somewhere. So that's why it's the two. I think a lot of people are confused about why this has to be, and there's also some pushback on the suggested location of a central library between 72nd and 90th. As we continue to move westward with our population, is that still the center of our city? A lot of people are asking that question. So we've had a lot of discussion about that one. That's probably been the most talked about in the media, and it happens to be our probably most hot-button suggestion that they made. And then finally, our fifth recommendation from Himmel and Wilson was to replace our Saddlebrook branch with a larger facility for a growing population. Saddlebrook branch is a very unique facility. It is our newest. It was built in 2009, is a joint facility with Omaha Parks and Rec and Omaha Public Schools. That is very unique. We have never done it before. It's kind of tucked into a little subdivision called Saddlebrook. So it's very different. But it's already kind of outgrown that space, and we get a lot of complaints because most people don't even realize it's there. They think it's part of the school. They don't feel like they can use it because of all the kids, or they think it is a library that is just designated for children. So what we did, we reviewed the plan that was presented by Himmel and Wilson, but we wanted to talk to our community. What do you want to see? What are your priorities? This is your library. You're the ones who are paying for it. We wanted to know how they felt about the recommendations from the consultants. So we created a survey. It was a very simple survey with basically, do you agree or disagree with the recommendations? And then we left it open-ended for some comments. The surveys were in print at the library locations. They were online. They were pushed out through the media. They were pushed out through social media. So they were very heavily publicized. And we ended up collecting 3,571 surveys, which actually resulted in a valid sample size for a city of our size, which was great because then we can actually have some teeth behind what we're hearing here. And then we also had open forums for the community and for staff. So there were 8 of those, 5 for the public, 3 for staff. So the responses, the total responses for the print and online surveys, like I said, was 3,571, and they shook out pretty much in favor of the recommendations. So if you were to look at the results, you would see that overwhelmingly the idea of building a Southwest library was supported 80%. When you see the disagreement, you know, a lot of people... Some things to think about when you're looking at the results are that the number of people that are actually affected by each of these locations would definitely factor into what the results were. And also, what has been the most publicized? What have they heard the most about? What are they most familiar with? So if they're not familiar with a location, if they never have heard of it or would have never used it, they maybe would have just not responded. We did have a lot of the questions where people just didn't respond because they weren't familiar and they didn't know. So there was a lot of no response. The only recommendation that fell into a minority, and that was by a very slim margin, was our Saddlebrook branch. A lot of people felt that being built in 2009, it was just a little too new to be messing with that and trying to build another facility out in that area. So all of the other recommendations did get support, with Southwest being number one, the main Swanson swap being the second, Willacather being the third priority, and Elkhorn being the fourth. We also learned a lot of other things, which I don't know if we would have left all the open-ended comments as that we did, but we did want to hear, and we've learned a lot, and we can actually do a lot with the information we did gather. But based on those open-ended surveys and asking for additional comments about a number of different things, we gathered over 5,860 comments that we were able to put into 5 different categories. They were actually 28 areas that we were able to categorize, but we kind of threw them into categories that were similar so that we could try to make some sense of what everyone was saying. And they kind of broke out into philosophical, physical facilities, system concerns, materials and services, and then specific concerns about branches. So I'm going to go over those briefly and just tell you what some of those concerns or issues or thoughts were. So there were 1,796 comments about philosophical issues, or what we call the philosophical issues, and they break out with some of them definitely being higher priorities within those comments. So 39% of those 1,700 comments were about funding and taxes, whereas what we call tribalism, and I'll define that for you, is only 7% of those comments. So real quick, funding and taxes, of course that was a huge question for a lot of people. How are you going to pay for this? And for the most part, I'm in favor of these changes as long as my taxes don't go up. So they want the facilities, they just don't, they're concerned about how they will be paid for. Which is a valid concern, absolutely. We are also having that concern. And something that I think a lot of people kind of forgot as they were doing this is that they would, again, would not all happen at once, that we were looking at this over a period of 20 years. The second thing that we identified was the East-West divide, which is very much thriving in this community, and to the point where I couldn't believe that some folks didn't know that Elkhorn was part of Omaha. They believed very much, or an overwhelming number of people, not everyone, of course, but people that lived east of 72nd or even east of 90th maybe felt that people out west didn't need libraries, that they were wealthy folks and that they had everything they needed, and if they so chose to move in that direction, then they deserve to have to drive for services if they needed them. So, and they can, because they all have transportation and they all have vehicles. It was really interesting. A lot of people were worried about their libraries closing or them not getting their share if other facilities were opened, and just wanting to make sure that we were investing in our libraries on the east side of town as well. The fear of a neighborhood branch closing was about 8.4% of these comments, and you know, that's always going to happen. Anytime we start talking about libraries, anytime we start talking about funding, there are very emotional attachments to libraries. People, whether they grew up in that neighborhood, libraries mean different things to different people, and there is a very valid concern about any library closing each time we discuss it. There was a discussion about investment in the community, meaning they just want to know that libraries are being funded even if they don't use them. Because they think it's good for the community. They think it's good for the health of the community. There were conversations about libraries being underutilized. Some of the folks that filled out the survey said, I never have trouble finding a parking space, and I never have to wait for a book, and I never have to wait in line. And I say kudos to them because I don't know anyone. I don't know any one of those people. I don't feel they're underutilized, but I'm there every day. So those folks just must go at great times for them. And then the last thing we called tribalism is, you know, we just threw that term on there because it was the folks who said, I don't want you to do anything to any library unless it's mine. So if it was going to affect them, they wanted it. If it wasn't going to affect them, they didn't want you to even consider it. The next area that we identified was about the physical facilities, and a lot of that was about the facilities themselves, our current facilities and our current infrastructure, talking about the condition of carpeting, lighting, fixtures, and technology. Another area that was commented on pretty widely was parking and traffic. And a lot of our libraries, every single library was mentioned in this out of our 12, because even though it was maybe worse at Swanson and Millard libraries, they felt like all of our libraries had parking problems, that they could not find parking spaces, that entry and exit was difficult, and that it was a real challenge and sometimes a hazard. There was a discussion about whether the main library should be a historic, iconic, or cultural center, if it should be what you see in great cities, where it is a historic, beautiful old building, like Chris described, with the wood and the columns of books. Or should it just be more functional? Do we need it to be an iconic cultural center? Should it be part of our downtown fabric the way it is? There was a definite expression of desire for more meeting rooms and study spaces. And some folks want kids to be in an entirely separate area that is soundproofed. So that's a concern. People want to study. They want their quiet. But we also have a lot of children's programs, and some folks don't want those mixed in the same spaces. And then finally, we had a few comments about our Friends of Omaha Public Library book sales, which currently take place at our Swanson branch, which is one of the branches that was up for discussion. Folks don't want to see those library book sales go away. They just want to make sure that if we do move on somewhere, that has a home. The next area that we identified were overall system concerns. So there were about 942 comments about our system. Some of those were things I already talked to you about, like alternate locations. They didn't necessarily care for the locations that were recommended in the plan, but they were recommending other places. So for Willa Cather, why would we move it so far west or into so much traffic with Exarvin and Baxter? Why couldn't we move it into the lot next to Kubot's? Why would we remove or replace Elkhorn when you have all that space? Or maybe you should put Elkhorn with Metro Community College out in Elkhorn. So a lot of people just had alternate suggestions to locations. There were lots of concerns about transportation. Some of our libraries are mostly accessible to neighborhoods by foot, by bike, by bus. Some of our locations are not accessible by bus at all. And a lot of people wanted to make sure that any future locations would be easy to access on a bus route or easy to access from a main road. Shared facilities. Folks always want us to be in shared facilities. They think it's a great money saver. So we do have some current shared facilities, but they were encouraging it even more. Partnerships with Metro Community College, partnerships with the schools, partnerships with community centers. We already do have several locations partnered with community centers. It makes a lot of sense. They are both open to the public, and they are both funded by the city. So it makes a lot of sense. It does get a little trickier when you start working with other entities like Omaha Public Schools, especially when you're talking about access for the public, and then you're talking about a secured access spot for children. So those are things that we always have to consider when talking about shared facilities. There was expression of concern about our strategic plan. We did complete a strategic plan in about 2011, I think was, and it was a long-term visionary plan that was supposed to be updated on a regular basis. And folks wanted to know, what is the vision? Where are you going? How does the plan, how does the facilities fit into your overall vision? They talked a lot about Sarpy County and our service area, and there was a lot of confusion around this, even though that was only 5.5% of those comments. It does seem like there is a misunderstanding about what Omaha Public Library serves. We serve Douglas County. Taxpayers in Douglas County pay for Omaha Public Libraries, so Omaha proper and Douglas County. Folks wondered what was the status of our Papillion branch, and when are we going to build our Gretna branch, and how's it going out in Bennington? Those are not part of Omaha Public Library. They asked why we don't serve Sarpy County, and it's because Sarpy County doesn't pay taxes for the library. People can pay for cards outside of Douglas County, but we don't serve them because their taxes don't support Omaha Public Library. And then there were a lot of people that wanted to tell us about all the other libraries that, and compare them with Omaha Public Library for how much better or worse Omaha Public Library is than these other libraries. The next section of concerns that people voiced were about materials and services. And while the majority of that was about our materials and collections, which wasn't all that surprising, something that was a little surprising, and probably because I take advantage very much of our hold system and putting books on hold and picking them up, is that people still love to go into a library and browse for books. They don't want to just order it online and go pick it up, although a lot of people do take advantage of that. They still want to go in and see the covers and pick them off the shelf and see what they like. And they have definitely noticed a decrease in our materials over the years, and that's troubling to them. They want to see that variety of books. They want to know that those books are available to them when they're ready to read them. Technology was definitely a concern, especially, you know, updating our technology or having lack of technology, and definitely our internet and Wi-Fi speeds are definitely not up to par for our community. They talked about hours in that, you know, I think in the past years, whenever we talk about library budget, it's always, are we going to have to reduce hours? Are we going to have to close locations? So there were a lot of questions about, why are you talking about building these new facilities when you can't have my library open 6 or 7 days a week? It's only open 5 days a week. So there were a lot of people wanting expanded hours, more hours for their local libraries. And then the last piece of that materials and services concern was about special collections, which genealogy is one of those special collections. Government documents is special collections. They just want to make sure that that's accessible to the most people in our community and that there's a home for it. They don't want it to get put away. They want to be able to use it, especially, like I said, our genealogy collection is heavily used, so they definitely want to make sure that has a home. And then the very last area that we identified was certain branches, specific branches that they had concerns about. So we identified about 590 comments about specific branch issues, first and foremost being Elkhorn access off Honeysuckle Drive. And they really want a driveway from Honeysuckle off of Highway 31 and feel that it would make it more accessible and more easy. We hear it again and again and again. It is not up to Omaha Public Library where we put in the drives, but we definitely have heard it, and we definitely keep that at the forefront of our minds. You cannot talk about our libraries without people talking about concerns of homeless people hanging out in the libraries, and how many of them spend time in the libraries, and is it just a glorified day shelter? We hear that often. Absolutely, Omaha Public Library serves homeless populations, especially in our downtown branch, but we also serve business community, children from area daycares and schools, and a lot of other people, that it is not strictly for one population in our downtown branch. Safety and security concerns, and that was across the board. They wanted better lighting in some of our facilities. They wanted cameras installed in our facilities. They wanted security in the parking lots at night. When they're going out and it's dark, they want to know that there is security on site that might help them if they need it. And again, talking about the homeless, that was part of their safety and security concerns as well. Two issues with our Saddlebrook location. They worried it was just for kids. They said that library, because it's connected to a school, serves the school. They don't know that it's a public library. They don't know that they can use it. And one of the major issues that they felt was a concern was during the school day, because it is a joint facility, half of our children's collection is actually closed off because it is shared with the school. So families that come in during the day, don't go to school there, cannot access that half of the children's collection. It is closed to keep the kids safe because it is a public building. So, and then after school hours are out, we can open up the bookshelves and they can have access to the entire collection. That is not necessarily helpful to families who homeschool. They'd have to wait for a librarian to go over and get the materials they want. They don't have the freedom to go back and forth in the entire children's area. And then there's also the question of, I didn't know you had a Saddlebrook branch. Where is it? They can't find it because it doesn't always come up on people's GPS. It seems confused in that little neighborhood that people just cannot find the location, and they had no idea it even existed. And then the very last area that they commented on, again, is that Main Library is scary. They feel it's scary, and not just because of the homeless that they feel are there, but also because there's way too much space, so many nooks and crannies, isolated spaces, and also the elevators. They are worried about the elevators actually working and not getting stuck on the elevators, which is a valid concern. It's happened. So basically, this report that I'm sending or sharing with you right now was shared with our Board of Trustees just last night at their board meeting. So it's going to take them a while to digest the 42-page report of results that we found. And then the Facilities Committee on our nine-member, we have an eight-member board right now, but typically nine-member Board of Trustees will talk about that, and then they will make recommendations that they present to the entire board and eventually to the mayor and the city. So that is the next step. Nothing has been decided, and that's where they're going to go with this information. So I'm going to leave it at that and ask for questions, but I wanted to show you this picture of an event we just had on October 19th at our Swanson Library that was over 350 people. And I like to show this when people say that no one goes to libraries anymore, because I would have hated to see the look on the face of anyone who came in just to return a book that night or to just come in and read a magazine, because there would have not been an inch for them to stand in. It was a full house. We do get a lot of folks in. We get a lot of kids in. Families still come to story time. Teenagers still come to study. So libraries are being used. We definitely feel that there's a need. We definitely feel there's a space deficit of libraries right now, and we want to do what's best to serve our community. So I will leave it at that and take any questions that any of you may have.
Thank you, Emily. As always, if there are questions, write them down on paper at the tables, and I'll ask from up here. And I have already a lot of them. I'm trying to put them into some sort of order. So let's start with funding. And I have several questions related to that. Explain, explain the relationship between the Omaha Public Libraries and the OPL Foundation.
So the Omaha Public Library Foundation is one of our support arms. We do have two private nonprofits that support Omaha Public Library, one being the foundation, the other being the Friends of Omaha Public Library. The foundation goes out, they seek private gifts. Typically, they meet with us on an annual basis to talk to us about what our needs are for that year. They are there to fund things that go above and beyond what taxpayers pay for, which is essentially, lights, utilities, personnel costs, and materials. So the foundation funds things like summer reading program, other programs for kids, teens, and adults, and sometimes special projects, like they recently got a gift for us to get the Omaha World Herald Archives and also the Omaha Star Archives. So they will buy special collections as well. They help fund our toy library, which has been an amazing gift to the community. So they do special projects above and beyond. They don't typically pay for things that would be considered business as usual or operational costs.
So you answered a little bit of this. In addition to the two private nonprofits, how is the library system funded, and is there funding in place to accomplish the things that the library wants to?
So the library is funded in a few different ways. The board actually just last night approved our overall budget for 2018, which includes the funds from the city and county. It includes the funds from the foundation and friends. It includes any trust funds that we have that acquire any interest, and then any extra gifts, basically, that we can anticipate. So that's our majority of our funding right there. I believe that they approved a budget last night for $16.1 million. The majority of that does come from city general funds. City general funds makes up about $14 million, a little bit more than that, actually. So that is the majority of our funding. Do we currently have the funding in place for what we want to accomplish over the next 20 years? No. We have to secure that funding. So we would work with the city to see what they could come up with, and then we would have to raise private funds. It would definitely have to be a public-private partnership to make this happen, like a lot of things in Omaha are. So we don't have it currently secured. The mayor has committed to some CIP funds for libraries. She has committed to some CIP funds in 2020 for a couple of different buildings. It is not enough for all of this, no.
But over the years, perhaps that will as the deeds.
Sure. Over the years, we hope that, you know, all of these things are contingent on which projects actually happen. So if you built something at Crossroads, would you need something at Exarban Village? Maybe not. If you built something, you know, in one spot, it might alleviate some of the traffic at another spot. So depending on what happens and in what order they happen, that could change the rest of the plan as we go forward, because it would take some of the traffic and reallocate it to different parts of the city so that some of the branches that are currently being stressed wouldn't necessarily feel the same pressures as they currently do, and maybe could hold off for a while longer. So depending on what does happen with these recommendations, that'll change the whole landscape over the years.
So the last one kind of, and it goes along with this, are you able to acquire the titles, the materials that you need? I mean, not everything, but are you satisfied? Is the library satisfied with its ability to acquire the titles and materials that it needs?
I think that we would like to be able to do more. I know we would like to be able to do more. I think even if we do acquire the titles that we want and need, it's sometimes very long waiting lists for certain titles. You could be waiting for something you want to read for months. And that's, you know, you could have up to 200 to 300 holds on a new DVD or a movie. And we'd not want that, because a lot of people, they give up. They don't want to wait that long, so they go buy the book or they go buy the movie. And we want them to be able to have it in a reasonable amount of time. I'm not saying they shouldn't have to wait at all. I'm just saying, you know, we don't want them to wait for months to read the new bestseller, because it's no longer the new bestseller by the time they get it. So we want to be able to do more. And then another issue that we're facing with our collections budget, and it's not going to get better, this is only going to get worse, is that there are so many more mediums for reading now. So you can buy digital, you can buy audio, you can stream it, you can buy print. So the different formats, you have to pay for each one of those. And even though you can go to Amazon and download a book for $9.99, libraries pay a considerable higher amount for an ebook than the average consumer, because we have to buy a license for each copy. We can only lend it one at a time. It's not unlimited amounts of books. So we're stretching our same budget over multiple mediums and multiple kinds of materials that people want. So I would say we would love to be able to do more, absolutely, with our collections and reduce wait times for people.
So other than financial resources, what do you see as the greatest challenges that the library faces?
I feel that some of our greatest challenges are, they're all going to be probably related to money. Technology is definitely one, getting our technology up to speed with what is expected and needed for people to do the types of things they need to do. We want to be able to have space for people to meet. We do have some great events, but I think about opportunities lost for not just the library, but community groups who want to be able to use that space. And then as a marketing and public relations professional, I think one of my greatest challenges is changing perceptions about some of the beliefs that are around the library system. And I think that definitely came to light when I was reading through some of the comments from the surveys. A lot of them were very disheartening to hear. It's just the perception behind the library is not always great. And I want it to be great because I think that the library does great things for a lot of people. But what people hear in the news sometimes is what sticks in their head. And that is not the reality of our library system for those of us who serve there every day. So that's my great challenge, is teaching people that we are here, that we have things to offer, and then also just sharing the variety of things that we have to offer. There are so many things we have that are, you know, the best kept secrets because nobody knows that we offer them, because we have a little something for everybody. So targeting the entire community in the place that they are at the time that they need it is a definite challenge.
So how do you go about that? What is the marketing strategy? How do you let people know what the library can do for them?
Sure. Well, because we have a pretty bare bones marketing staff, so we just try to do the most we can with what we've got. So really, we do a lot of bringing people back into the library with events, programs, services, and then when we get there, we want to reintroduce them with certain things. We've also, over the years, tried different marketing segmentation software that we've been working with to segment out different parts of our community, what their interests are, what they could most use from the library that would be helpful to them, and targeting them with special messaging that would be relevant to them in that place. Another part of what we're doing is working with partners. You know, word of mouth goes a long way. So when you're working with partners and they're the ones talking about what you can offer, or how you helped them, or how you helped some of their students or children or immigrants or whoever, that goes a long way too. It's just partnering with them to let them know what we have for their specific group that they're working with, so that they can help share the word about what we have to offer.
So talk a little bit about the partners. There's a question here. Will the public libraries, and it could be not will, but does the public library system work with Metro, with UNO, with Creighton? I know it works with Metro because of the South Branch is on the Metro campus. But talk about the partnerships and the other institutions, educational institutions in town that you work with.
Sure. We do work with Metro. Obviously, our South Omaha Library is a joint facility with Metro Community College there. So we do work with them. Basically, we share collections and systems with them, and we do some programming with them as well. We work with Omaha Public Schools, doing some pilot projects with them to make sure that children all have library cards and easier access to our collections through the schools. But we also have a presence at the Learning Community Center of North Omaha. So we actually have a full-time employee that works there, working with people, parents there, on everything from signing up for a new library card and early literacy for their children to helping parents with their resumes and computer skills in that space. We work with the Literacy Center of Midlands to do ESL, GED, citizenship classes. Those are all offered in our spaces with them. We work with Douglas County Health Centers to make sure we do some free health screenings in our libraries. They're just using our spaces, but it is easier access and helps them to do their job well. We work with a lot of them. It would be really hard to list them all, but we very much are trying to be a part of the community rather than just asking people to come to us. We do work with UNO. I guess that was a specific one that was mentioned. We have a presence at the Community Engagement Center at UNO. We do have 3 staff members that are working there so that they are engaging each day with all of the other groups that are present there to come up with ideas and opportunities for us to work together to address our community's issues and strengthen our community. So very much working on outreach as well as bringing people in. You could go on and on.
You mentioned a little while ago, just kind of briefly in the midst of one of your answers, you mentioned the word events. Could you talk a little bit about this speaker series from the past few months and what may be coming up?
The speaker series we just did, that's where this picture comes from. This was the Holocaust Survivor Speaker Series, and we partnered with the Institute for Holocaust Education to present 4 weeks, 4 Thursdays, of Holocaust survivors sharing their firsthand accounts of their experiences during World War II. And the response was overwhelming. As you can see, it actually gives me chills to think about it, because the very first night we had it was at our Elkhorn branch. I can tell you, we have a lot of events at our libraries. We have a lot of authors. We have a lot of speakers. And I have never seen a response like this. When I saw people parking on the grass, parking down the street, and kept streaming into our Elkhorn Public Library, I said, oh no, because our meeting room capacity for that space is 77 people, and we had over 250 people and ended up having to turn half of them away. Overall, we had over 1,000 people attend the 4 nights. So it was an amazing opportunity. I think everyone who, whether or not they had a direct line of vision to the person speaking, did not matter. They were grateful to be in the presence and hear the stories. So moving forward, we had to make some accommodations. We had to pump in sound and video just to make sure that as many people as they wanted to could hear and see this. We talked with the Institute for Holocaust Education about why they have speakers at their facility often at the JCC, and they said they've never seen this kind of response when they offer this type of programming, and they said it's because it's at the library that they came. They felt it was welcome to everyone. They felt it was familiar, and they felt comfortable. So they were happy with it, although we were also challenged by it because it stretched us really thin. Things that are coming up right now, just in the days and months ahead, we are going to have a lot of holiday programs. We like people to kind of remember there's a lot that the library can offer for holidays, like, you know, go online and check out Consumer Reports before you make a big purchase, or get your cookbooks from the library rather than going out and buying a bunch of cookbooks. We have a lot of DIY crafts for kids so they can make gifts for their parents, and all the supplies are free. We do music on site, which not only gives people in the community an opportunity to showcase their talents, but also, for me at least, around the holidays, it's kind of a time to just sit down and relax and listen to a harp or a piano, which is really beautiful for, you know, 30 to 40 minutes. It's just kind of a nice time out. So that's what we're working on right now. And in the new year, we'll be ramping up our New Year, New Business series, which is a partnership with the Small Business Association. Offers a lot of tips, tricks, you know, startup ideas for new entrepreneurs and business folk. And then, of course, very popular in February around Valentine's Day, we always have our annual speed dating event, which you wouldn't believe it, but we have, you know, 3 marriages now and I think 3 babies. So it's been a successful series, and folks just look for libraries as a place to connect. It's been a lot of fun.
They never did that in my old Carnegie library. If they did, I would have had a date for the prom.
I'll tell you, when I first got to the library 7 years ago, we couldn't get people to attend that event for anything. And I was like, we got to drop this thing. And then we started listening a little bit more to folks and what they wanted. And now it sells out before we even advertise it. The spots are full. And people have heard the success stories. I mean, We've got marriages and long-term relationships that have come out of this event, and folks want to come. Again, it's the library. It's comfortable. They feel safe. It's 3 minutes. It's speed dating. So you can get out of the situation rather than going on a full long date if you need to.
A couple of questions that are a little more sensitive in nature. Do you often get demands that certain books be banned, and how do you handle those situations? And have books, in fact, been banned?
Sure. You know, we don't get as many as we used to. We definitely receive challenges to books. We don't ban much at all anymore. One of my favorite stories is back when Huckleberry Finn first came out. Omaha was one of the first communities to ban Huckleberry Finn. And Mark Twain commented directly about how silly that was, and I can't remember the exact quote, but something about you wouldn't give a steak to a baby if they can't chew it, so don't give books to people that can't, you know, comprehend them. Something of that nature. We don't get that many. The more challenges that we get right now are about the actual covers of books. There might be some kind of racy art on the covers of books, and we've had parents say, could you please not display those books in areas where my kids might be, or could you please make sure that those books are actually ones that are shelved rather than being on display? So more often than not, we don't get that many challenges in Omaha anymore, not the way some communities still do. We would look at the challenge, of course, but libraries aren't typically ones to want to censor materials. So there have been times where they've held materials back in special areas or that people would have to request them specially. But I don't think that's happened since the 90s.
This question, as I recall, there was major pushback from library supporters to law enforcement requests to see what library patrons see and read. Where does that situation stand right now?
So library accounts are confidential, and that is actually state law. Library accounts are confidential because we believe that libraries, especially public libraries, are a cornerstone to democracy. So if somebody can access your accounts, see what you're reading, see what you're doing, that is not necessarily free and open for people to feel comfortable reading and seeing what they want. So all library accounts are confidential. I believe that some of those incidents were in reference to them wanting to turn over camera footage, which camera footage they do have to request by subpoena, unless they have changed the policy actually more recently with this board, unless there is substantial immediate danger, I believe is how it's worded. The policy is on our website at omahalibrary.org, so if people wanted to review it, it is there. But if there's a threat of immediate danger and that would help mitigate some of that, the library will work with the police to turn some of that over so that they can make sure that threat is taken care of. But access to library accounts and access to regular everyday footage, they'd still have to request special.
So, given the impact that the internet has had on people's lives, mm-hmm. and the fact that many people can just sit at home and look up resources, what's been the impact of the internet on the library? Has it increased readership? Decreased? I mean, increased use of the libraries? Decreased? Where has the impact been?
I think it actually hasn't really affected us as much as people would say. I know a lot of people say, like, you don't need to go to a library, you can just Google it. But Google isn't curated. And I think when you're doing real research and when you're asking real questions and you go on Google, you're going to come up with over a million answers. So which one is the most accurate? What source can I trust? What can I rely on? So our librarians actually help navigate a lot of the internet. So that's something that they're faced with is, what are reliable sources? How can we help you find the information? And, you know, just in some cases, even when you have a database that you know is reliable, searching some of those things can be very daunting. And I know for me, I have a couple times tried to dabble in the genealogy, and I can go on Ancestry, and I know you're supposed to be able to just click on the roots, and it's supposed to pop up a new limb and lead you down that path. I cannot do it. I need help. I need help from somebody who knows how these things work. So if anything, they're just helping navigate all of the influx of information that is now available. And also it changes how we allocate our budget. We do put a lot more of the reference type materials are digital now. You're not going and grabbing an encyclopedia because you know it's outdated the second you print it. So where you're not going to see those heavy volumes and huge, huge books of reference on the shelves as much, because we do allocate our budget to doing that more online now. You would hopefully see reallocation of those materials to what other popular works. So, yeah, it's changed it, but it hasn't decreased the need for librarians.
And last question, I'm actually going to combine a couple of questions because they all deal with the same thing. Riverfront development, Midtown population shifts, Exarban population shifts, all of those taken into consideration when the study was done by your consultants, or does that begin to change the picture as well?
No, the consultant didn't necessarily look at what the current developments were in the city. They just looked at what would be ideal for population centers. Like, where is the population in that area, and what are the drive times for people in those areas? So they weren't necessarily looking at what is or is not developed. That wasn't part of the study. I do feel like whenever you're looking at property, you don't take anything off the table. I mean, we've seen multiple iterations of some of these developments come out over the years. Some of them come to fruition, some of them don't. So I think you consider everything, you don't leave any stone unturned, but none of them are any specific place that we're vying to be or wanting to be. We just want it to be where the population in that area is best served. So whatever that might look like is where we want to be.
Emily, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Omaha Public Library Media and Marketing Manager Emily Getchman for speaking to us today.
You've been listening to a luncheon broadcast from the Omaha Press Club on Noon Forum. Today's guest speaker was Emily Getchman, Marketing Director for the Omaha Public Library. She spoke on the topic, The Future of Omaha's Library. This program was recorded by Omaha Public Radio on Thursday afternoon, November 16th, 2017, for broadcast at this time. Special thanks to the Omaha Press Club's Education Committee for helping to make the recording and broadcast of this program possible. The Omaha Press Club holds these noontime educational forums each month. The next program will be this Thursday, January 18th at 12 noon. At that time, the guest speaker will be Frank Lemaire, a member of the Winnebago Tribe of Nebraska. Mr. Lemaire was presented the Award of Excellence from Project Extra Mile for his work at White Clay, helping to stop the illegal flow of alcohol from Nebraska onto the Dry Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. He'll speak on the topic, The White Clay Closure Prophecy. If you'd like to attend this or other future programs in the series, call the Omaha Press Club at 402-345-8008. These events are open to both members and non-members of the Omaha Press Club. The Omaha Press Club is located on the 22nd floor of the First National Center, 16th and Dodge, in downtown Omaha. Complete Noon Forum listings, as well as an archive of over 600 previous broadcasts, are available on our website, kios.org. Now, this is your producer and host, Bob Cote, thanking you for listening.